dad tried to initiate parenting time because he was in the military and had to stay where he was, that she frustrated those efforts at every attempt?
Well, that would be the claim made by Mr. Cashin. If you look at Mr. Cashin's testimony very carefully, and I'm sure that you have at this point in time, during the two-year time frame that Ms. Cashin was in Omaha and Mr. Cashin was in England, he came to the United States four times. On one occasion, he was in Virginia. Ms. Cashin and the child went to Virginia to visit him. On one occasion, which was right before trial, there were some issues with him having visitation or parenting time, but he did get to see the child at that point in time. There was another time that he did come back and was in Virginia again. This time, Ms. Cashin had a work-related incident occur, and she could not get to Virginia with the child.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because he actually offered to fly your client, mom, and the child to Virginia, had scheduled for some extended family to be able to spend time with his daughter, and your client didn't want to do that. She wanted money to drive out there, and he gave her $500 to do that. And at the last minute, she claimed a work issue arose, and she denied that parenting time to him.
She did not go to Virginia. That's correct. At that point in time, again, she's a single mother living in Omaha, doing everything she can to try to support her child. She has a job as a manager of an establishment in Lincoln, Nebraska at that point in time. Something happened at the establishment. She could not make that work, and she couldn't go to Virginia, the 10 or 12 or 18-hour drive that it was to get there.
Doesn't it seem that there's a pattern in this record that when parenting time would be scheduled, something would come up and your client would always end up changing the plan, and that resulted in dad not having time with his child? And then your client's position is he hasn't spent enough time with our daughter to be able to have custody. Isn't that problematic?
I understand your point. But again, I would go back to the fact that during the 2 years that he was in England, he was only here four times. Twice, there was parenting time. Once, there was not, and once, we don't know what happened. The fourth time that he was near here is not addressed at trial.
Well, one of the times when he was here prior to trial, it required a second court hearing for him to be able to exercise his parenting time.
I agree.
So if what you're telling me is supported by the record, there was one instance that perhaps your client voluntarily took the child to Virginia?
Correct.
And when did that occur?
I want to say that was in 2015.
Mr. Ferguson, I'd kind of like to get to the underlying issue of what your argument is on this point, and that is that she's been the primary caregiver, but she's the one that took the child from England, where he has to stay, at least most of the time, due to his military commitment. So how much can we... I know that that's a proper consideration as to who's been the primary caregiver, but how much can we penalize him when he's in that position where he doesn't have a choice? She had a choice and took the child and came back to Nebraska, but he doesn't have those options. So how much can we really, how big of a factor can we make that in our analysis?
Well, I'm going to leave that up to you, Judge, but I hope you make it. I hope you make it a large factor. That being said, Mr. Cashin made some allegations against my client at trial while she was living in England with him. Allegations of solicitation, allegations of alcoholism, some other things like that. Those occurred prior to her moving back to Nebraska. As a parent, I can tell you that if I really believed those things to be true, I would swim across the Atlantic and get my child and bring her back with me somehow, if it was really as bad as he claimed that it was. You'll also notice that the record itself is bereft completely of any allegation that while she was here, she wasn't properly caring for the child. Food, clothing, medical attention, child care, all of these things. For Judge Battalion to say she was unfit when she was providing all these things to the child, I think is completely unfair.
And if that's the case, the standard is still to look at the best interests of the child, right?
I agree.
And Judge Battalion went through quite a list of items he felt factored in to the best interests of the child, including the you know, the fact that your that mom was living with a boyfriend who she actually had assault charges from before.
Disorderly conduct.
Right?
Yes.
Right, yeah. And also the fact that she had other children with whom she had not been parenting for several months.
Well, I'm sorry.
Outside of this marriage, outside of this marriage, she had two other children with different dads that she had not seen for several months. So aren't those legitimate factors for the judge to have considered in making this decision?
I would submit that they're not, and let me explain. The fact that she has children with some other parents, every relationship is different. Who knows why she's not seeing those children?
Well, we know why, because she testified as to why.
Well, she said she was ill. There were some other things going on at the time that she could not see the children. And it's not a situation where she hadn't seen them for 3 or 4 or 5 years. It was a situation where she hadn't seen them for a few months. As far as that's concerned, again, every relationship is different. Everybody handles their relationships with their children differently. Some parents get along, some parents don't. Some children get along, some children don't. There is no evidence in the record whatsoever that any of the issues that she had with her other children, she was having with Liliana. Again, she provided for this child on a daily basis, any way that she felt, any way or every way that she possibly could. This child did not want for anything, and Mr. Kashif himself testified that every time he saw the child, and I would like to address that issue for a second, they were Skyping or FaceTiming 3 times a week. Now, sometimes Mr. Kashif wasn't there, sometimes she wasn't there, but it was always rescheduled, or normally rescheduled on average. So for the court to say that she frustrated his ability to learn to know his child at every turn, or before, I think was the word that was used on a regular basis, I think it's simply incorrect.
Well, by her own testimony, she said she was not allowing him to have overnights because she wasn't comfortable with it. And when he wanted to take her out to the lake with some friends, she wasn't comfortable with that. So, and she essentially said to him, she gets to decide. She wasn't interested in his input. She was the one who was telling him how it was going to be. There wasn't really a co-parenting situation going on.
True. And unfortunately, as a parent in that situation, that's how she felt it was best to deal with that, because the child had only seen him via Skype, via FaceTime, and in person over the last 2 years, once, maybe twice, on a pretty short-term basis. The other issues that the judge brought up, however, I think need to be addressed in that...
I'm sorry, Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Shattuck?
May it please the court, my name is Kelly Shattuck. I'm an attorney out of Omaha. Me and Mr. Ferguson go way back. We've had many cases together, so we're in the courtroom quite a lot. I respect him, and he's an excellent attorney, but I think that the argument that's being made in the brief for his client is that the judge in this case, Judge Battalion, didn't find a specific harm done to the child as a result of all these negative things or these negative findings. I would go through some of those negative findings with the judge specifically found. He said in his ruling that the mother thwarted Sean's effort to maintain contact with her child. She was not truthful. She failed to maintain a stable home and lifestyle. She made poor decisions. There was morality issues that were briefly touched upon that the court's aware of. Samantha failed to maintain parenting time with her other children, and she failed to pay child support for her other children. But even after making those findings on the record of why the judge thought it was the mother was unfit, he went on to say that even if that wasn't enough to truly find the child was unfit, or the mother was unfit to care for the child going forward, he said in the best interest standard, just going through the standards that the court is aware of that was brought up here today, the child's best interest lied with staying with the father who is has a more stable environment, was the parent who is more likely to encourage a relationship with the other parent going forward, things that will benefit the child going forward. This is a situation where it wasn't once or twice or a couple times. It was an ongoing problem with the mother on the thwarting of visitation. In fact, it got so bad that, and I was the trial attorney on this, we had to go to court. In the 11 days that my client came before trial started, he came 11 days early to spend time with his child and to prepare for trial. We had to go to court twice in that 11 days to get the mother to follow a visitation schedule that she still didn't follow. It was complete frustration, and it seemed like she didn't have the ability to follow an order. So I think that's a huge thing for the court to consider, and why Judge Battalion ruled the way he did.
Counsel, there was a temporary order entered in this case placing custody with mom. Is that true?
That is correct.
So was there a parenting time arrangement in that temporary order?
And that was the frustrating part. There was, Your Honor. The visitation, even though he was in England, the visitation, it was, original judge was out of Saunders County, ruled that it had to take place in the United States. And so my client had limited ability to come back on leave from England to exercise his visitation. So everything had to be planned out pretty long in advance. And that's where it was mentioned today that he arranged to come to the United States and be at a specific place and pay for the mother to come with the minor child. And then at the last minute, she withdrew and kept the money but didn't bring the child. It was just an ongoing frustration of visitation. And the fact, I don't want to downplay also the fact that it was she lost custody of her other child. She had joint custody of her older child and went through a court proceeding in that and was limited in her visitation because of the same type of behaviors that she was doing. In fact, the father of her other child came to court and testified that she asked him to lie to the court, to come into court and lie for her to help her case. And he said, she's not to be trusted. She won't keep you informed of what's going on with the child. So to say that she did her job and everything was great with the child for those 2 years that prior to trial, we don't know. She's not trustworthy. She's the only one that testified about that. And what we do know is that when she had the ability to have a relationship with her older child, she failed. So she has a track record there. And then all the things that she did here.
Mr. Ferguson mentioned that your client came back to the States 4 times during that temporary period.
Correct.
Do you agree that's what the record
says? I think that's what it says.
And of those 4 times, 1 time she did bring Lily to Virginia to visit.
Correct.
Do you agree with that?
Correct.
And then 1 time she didn't. And then we have the occasion right before trial that you spoke to. But what happened on the other occasion?
Well, actually, I think that it wasn't supposed to take place in the United States. She had agreed, if the parties agreed, they could have visitation elsewhere. She had agreed to come to England. She actually came to England, but didn't bring the child. So she spent time with my client, but did not bring the child. So that would be the 4th one.
And so would you, if we would find that the trial judge was incorrect in finding that mom is an unfit parent, if we think the record establishes she was a fit parent, can we still reach the same result in this case, do you think?
I think so. And I think it would. The evidence is almost overwhelming that the best interest lies with father and not with the mother in this particular case. I think the court was right that she was unfit or is unfit. The standard for unfitness isn't that she actually performed something that put the child in danger. It's the fact that it's a likelihood that it could happen in the future, that she would not be able to perform a parental duty. And that is what unfitness, at least as the Supreme Court defines it, is. So given this history of abandoning her older child for long periods of time, this history of not paying financial support, this history of frustrating visitation, all those things lead a reasonable person, in this case the trial judge, to believe that she's likely to continue that type of behavior and worse. And some of those moral issues, those are serious moral issues. That was incredible evidence that was brought forward about her engaging in prostitution and things like that while she was in England.
We haven't talked about this particular point yet, but in your time remaining, So Dad is now moving to Arizona and will be stationed there in his military career. Is that?
At the time of trial, he had just gotten orders for Arizona, yes, Your Honor.
So now that implicates some removal type issues.
Correct.
Give us your best argument why that's in Lily's best interest to now be in the custody of her father, who she hasn't spent time with for a couple of years, and then move out of her home state that she's familiar with and move with an unfamiliar father to an unfamiliar place.
Sure. The standard that my client had the requirement to show is that he had a legitimate reason for going, and that was uncontested. He was in the military, had orders for Arizona. Then the best interest standard, they have to look at basically three things, but there's a litany. The judge can look at any commonsensical parenting issues that he or she wants to decide that, but the basic is, what is your motive for wanting the child to be with you versus the other parent wanting to stop you from the removal? I think both sides had legitimate reasons for that, so that's really a neutral issue. And then we get into more of the best interest issues of who can provide a more stable environment for the child, who has educational advantages, financial advantages. Here, this is really important, is she's living half the time with her boyfriend that she has a history of physical abuse with, and half the time with her mom that she has not the best relationship, that she's in and out of that home. And that her brother lives with her mother, and her brother had sexually assaulted the older boy. That was one of the reasons why she lost custody. So we don't have a stable environment. She's not on the lease, on either lease. She doesn't have a stable history of work or income coming in, and she latches on to some unscrupulous people and just doesn't make right decisions. So I think as a broad look, there's clearly evidence to support a removal in this case, because you want to safeguard the ultimate thing that judge wants to do in trial is make sure there's a safe environment for the child. And the rest of it, I don't think the court really should put too much weight on the parents. They have to. That judge had a responsibility to safeguard this child, and I think he did the right thing. I think there was no evidence of instability on the part of Mr. Kashuk, but there clearly was evidence of instability and bad decision making on the part of Mrs. Kashuk. That's all I have.
Any other questions?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Shattuck.
And I believe we did use all of Mr. Ferguson's time.
All right. So thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.